You know, it's always good to get away, and it's always wonderful to come home, is it not? You're sleeping in your own bed. You're taking a shower in your own shower. I love that stuff. And then you look out back, and there's the grass growing, and there's the weeds. And I may have told you guys, but I've been trying to take back my yard for quite a while, and Eric did a message on it a while back. I think he called it the slow drift. And little by little, those weeds take over and the trees take over. And in our backyard, there was a pole. And I used to mow my mower a couple passes in between the fence and that pole. But next thing you know, here's the pole, there's the fence, and I'm mowing out here around it all. And I thought, oh, good grief. So about every Saturday morning, I get up and I try and go out and I cut some limbs. And man, that burn pile kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger as I cut limbs. You may or may not have noticed, but the last couple months were very windy in Oklahoma. So I couldn't burn that stuff. And finally, there was a day. And I burned and burned and burned all day long. I had a giant burn pile. And then it was down to nothing. I thought, oh, great. But guess what I did the next week? Oh, there's some more branches low hanging. I can cut those. And I went out and I started cutting. And I had another burn pile. So I had another fire. And then guess what I did the next week? Oh, there's some more. And I went and trimmed it up. Did the same thing yesterday morning. Went out. And that burn pile was really small until I looked around. And I think that's sometimes how our life gets, that we look around and we say, oh, I've got to fix a few things. I'm getting out of control here. And then we try and fix it and say, oh, I'm really not in line here either. And then as we get more connected to God and more in tune with God, we say, oh, there's some more areas I need to prune and trim. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, today to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I thought for a while, you know, we've been in that house 25 years. And I thought for a while, it takes weekly maintenance to keep that up. And I always crack up when I drive past and here's some, usually an older gentleman, and he's picking up a little tiny twig in his yard and he's taking it somewhere. Till I was walking through my yard yesterday, I thought, dang, there's another twig. There's another branch. My back's killing me. It hurts. Weekly maintenance, man. I stopped it. Why? Because it's hard work. It's hard work to do that weekly maintenance. Look around at the empty seats. Those are a lot of people that gave up over the years because it is hard work. Man. This is tough sometimes. You have to have that weekly maintenance. And if you don't, and you let it go for a couple months or worse yet, years, it's tough to get it back under control. But I'm back on it. I'm back at the weekly maintenance in the yard. Trying little by little to get more of it. I stopped mowing this. Why? Well, because it looked big and scary and there were thorns in it. And then one day I just thought, okay, whatever. And I just barreled over it. But I thought, I want my yard back. And likewise, I want my life back. So I'm going to be stuck in weekly maintenance mode in my yard and in my life. I'm here today to challenge you, if you feel like it's hard work, and every now and then you hit the thorns. I mean, I've got little scratches all over my hands and my arms from passing thorn bushes. And they scratch me, and you think, I want to give up. This weekly maintenance is tough. I'm here today to challenge you to stay on it and don't give up. John chapter 15, as we get ready to do that, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Oh, y'all need a vacation, I guess. I had one. I'm refreshed. Let's try it one more time, okay? This is an invitation that he says, this is the day which I've made. Man, rejoice. So let's try it a little hardier this time. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. I like that. You guys don't need a vacation for another year. You'll be all right. Man, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I mentioned earlier that sometimes we feel like we're sitting in a pile of ashes. But he says, hope will arise. Thelma, hope will arise. Jesus said many times in the Bible, I am. He said, I am the vine, I am the bread, I am the gate, I am the life, I am the way, I am the shepherd. And today we're going to focus on the vine. He said, I am the vine. Each time that he said that, he was being intentional to his group of listeners and who he was talking to and what he was talking about. And in John chapter 15, we're going to read verse 1 through 8. And it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Again, this is Jesus speaking. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. But he says, abide in me. Now, if it's tough for you to understand abide and what that means, just replace the word abide with remain. And he says, remain in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. For without me you can do no thing. You can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, or if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Now, again, I cut a lot of branches down, and a lot of times I'd let them, when I was waiting for the wind to die down for weeks on end, those dried out. You may or may not notice, but these branches here are pretty dried out. I mean, they're crunchy to the touch. They cannot remain alive if they're not connected to the vine. Those are the branches. Then when I cut those branches and they dried out and I put them in the fire, guess what they did? Whoosh! They burned quickly. Now I cut a few green branches yesterday and they burned a little slower. But they burned nonetheless. It says, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. They're consumed. Now I think, you know, when Jesus is doing this in John 15, this is after he's done several things with the disciples. This is after his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He's sitting down with his last meal with the disciples, the 12 people that he called. He called them. It's after his entry. He's identified Judas as his betrayer. He's washed the feet of the disciples. He's promised the helper, the gift of the helper, the Holy Spirit. And he's also predicted Peter's denial. And then he says this to them. I am the true vine. Jesus spent the last 3 years with these men again that he called, this group of people that he called, building a community and discipling these people to do what? To take over the mission that they've all been doing together. It will soon be their turn to carry that on without him. Now, when we look at the Old Testament, you don't have to turn there, but write this down. I'll be there just briefly. But in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, in the Old Testament, the vine, a lot of times, well, I'll read this first. Yet I had planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine? Not quite the same pleasant thing that Jesus is talking about. And then in Hosea chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, it says, Israel empties his vine. He brings forth fruit for himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He has increased the altars according to the bounty of his land, and they have embellished his sacred pillars. Their heart is divided. Now they are held guilty. He will break down their altars, and he will ruin their sacred pillars. So in the Old Testament, the prophets generally, when they're talking about the vine, they're talking about it in a negative way, possibly rebuking or correcting. And it doesn't have the same meaning when Jesus is talking about this, when he says, I am the vine. That's a pretty bold statement now, because Israel was the vine in the past. It's interesting when Jesus said he's the vine. Again, it's significant to them. He's saying, I am doing what Israel and you cannot do. I am being what Israel and you cannot be. You cannot be the vine. He says, I am the vine. You cannot do what I can do, and you cannot be what I can be. Abide or remain in me, and together we will remain in God. But don't try and do it on your own. Church, there are people in this world, and God bless them, they think, I can do this on my own. I listen to TV preachers. I watch them. I listen to preachers on the radio. I get my fill that way. I don't need to be in a church. And by the way, I don't need to give my money to a church because I listen on the radio. When you don't think the radio costs money, I bet you don't send money to them. What about the TV ministry? Do you send money to them? But he says, I need you to be in community, because when you try and do it on your own as the branch, you will die. Because if you're not connected to the vine, you are cut off. This is not connected to anything. You can hear this. It's crunchy. You will die. Oh, see, I snapped it right there. You'll die. You'll break. You cannot live. It's not sustainable to live without being connected to the vine. So Jesus tells them, remain in me. Abide in me, and together we'll remain in God, because you can't do it on your own. Now, a lot of times we think, oh, I'm the vine. But Jesus told Judas, hey, you're going to betray me. But then he says, after that, he tells Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Let me go back here. In Mark chapter 14, verse 29. Mark 14, verse 29. And I don't know why, but it always tickles me when I read this. Peter said to him, even if all others are made to stumble, yet I will not be. I will not be made to stumble. And then in verse 31, he says, but he spoke more vehemently. This is Peter again. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Now let's bounce back up to verse 30 that I skipped. Because in the midst of that, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, in other words, hours later, hours from now, even this night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. In the midst of all this, Peter thought, I don't need to be connected. They'll all stumble and fall, but not me. And in the midst of all this, he basically is telling the disciples, you guys are Israel. You think you're the vine. On their own, they cannot and will not be faithful to God. When Jesus isn't there, Peter denies him. Judas is in the middle of the Last Supper, and he gets up and leaves to go get his bag of money and betray Jesus. Peter stood tall and said, I will not deny you. And hours later, denied him one, two, three times. I thought, man, okay, the disciples are struggling with this right now. But he says, on your own, you cannot and will not be faithful to God. You have to remain with me. You and I are not the vine. We are the branches connected to the vine. The branch is not the source. But so many times we think we're the source of our own solution. We are not the source. Thelma, the vine is the source. Stay connected to the vine. He is your source. You are a branch. We can't grow on our own. Peter said, I will die for you. I will die with you. And hours later, denied Jesus. Now, every gardener or producer knows you have to prune to get the best fruit. You ever seen someone looking at grapes at a place where they make wine? A lot of times they're pruning that. We have to be pruned sometime to have the best fruit. What does that fruit look like? Well, we have a good idea in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Adam, I've got fruit in my life. How are we doing on that list? Do we have all of those? Well, I have most aspects of that in my life. But God says, I want you to have it all. You see, I want you to have the best fruit. And I want you to have the most fruit that God wants for you to have. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it what? More abundantly. I don't know how many of you were around when our new superintendent of our conference came to our church. And that happened to be the Sunday I was preaching. I had a bunch of pizza boxes I was using as samples. And I had the little personal pan pizza. I said, hey, do y'all have blessings in your life? Oh, I got blessings. You do. Here's your little pan pizza of blessings. But is that enough really to share with people? Well, I can, but then you're probably hungry and they're hungry. Then there was a next size. But he wanted us to have the shakaroni, whatever that was, the big giant double pizza, that we may have life and have it more abundantly and that we could share with others. You know, I have most of these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Is that good enough? Now, some of you may think, I've got all those aspects. All of those all the time at the same time. And if you're sitting with a spouse or a mate or someone that knows you really well, they may remind you, not always. Not every one of those. You're missing that. I have patience in these deals, but not those deals. I have patience when dealing with this, and this, but not the family. I have patience in this, and this, but not driving. I have patience in this, and this, but not whatever it is. We may have some of that at different times, or all of that at different times, but not all of it all the time. We have some pruning that needs to take place in our lives. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Now back to John 15, finishing the rest, from 9 to verse 17. And I like this because it continues on with that. And it says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love, or remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and remain in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. See, he wants us to have joy, but not just joy. He wants it to be full. He doesn't want you to just have a small little piece of fruit off your fruit tree. He said, man, I want you to have tons of fruit. I want it to be the best, the biggest, and the most. But in order to do that, I've got to prune you every now and then. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. And then he says this to his disciples, you did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Abide or remain is mentioned multiple times just in those few verses. 8, 9, or 10 times in those verses. You know, God, I'm still growing. I'm growing here. But we have to say, God, I will allow you to prune me so that I may return and bear more fruit for your kingdom. He says, I want you to stay here. You see, whatever we're going through, we have options to run away from it, to ignore it, to handle it ourselves. But he says, return to me and remain in me. Abide in me and abide with me. We have to be willing to allow God to prune us. And we have to recognize when he's doing that. The world's against me. All this stuff is coming against me. That may be God looking down and saying, pardon the interruption, Adam. It's me, God. I'm interrupting your life so that I can prune you. Why, God? Why now? Because this looks like it hurts. Because I want you to bear more fruit. And when you allow me to do that and you recognize the purpose behind it, you will bear more fruit. He says, I want you to remain in me. Remain in me because I am. Remain in me because I am the source of hope and change in your life. Now listen, church, I don't know who's ever planted a fruit tree. You probably planted it and the next day stood there and go, where's my apple? Where's my lemon? Where's my orange? Where's my whatever? Where's my plum? Well, maybe I'll give it a week. Okay? When you plant those seeds, it may take a while for that fruit to show up. We're almost halfway through 2026. You may not see the fruit you're looking for in 2026. It may be 2027 or 2028. It may take a while for that tree or that seed you planted to mature. But when it does, be ready to prune also. Why? So that you can have fruit, but have better fruit, more fruit, have the best fruit for kingdom work. Don't give up during the wait. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Church, we are the branches. We must remain connected to the vine. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lesson today. God, we thank you for the words of Jesus with his disciples. as he spoke to them, as they sat at the last meal they were going to have together before his arrest and crucifixion. But God, he said, I am the true vine. He reminded them of who he is. A bold statement in those days. A statement that he knew who he was. Father, today as we prepare to leave this building, there may be people today that say, God, I feel like I'm sitting here and I've planted seeds and I feel like you have pruned me and pruned me and pruned me. When will I see the fruit, Lord? God, I ask you to open their eyes and their spiritual eyes to the fruit that is already in their life that they may not recognize. For God, where you are, there is fruit. We just want to bear more fruit and better fruit by allowing you to prune our lives. Possibly to trim back. God, for some plants, the appearance of the flower shows that it's time to prune those exact flowers so that it may grow better and grow bigger. So God, today I pray, if there are those here today feeling like they are disconnected from the vine, Lord, would you bring them forward that we may pray over them, that we may help them with a connection to the vine. For you said, I am. And you are so many things, God. But today you said, I am the true vine. May we connect with you. May we be open to the pruning. Lord, I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.